So we'll look today at the gospel reading from John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word. We pray now as we look into your gospel that you would enlighten our minds and open our ears and soften our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I came across an interesting article not too long ago that I immediately cut out and saved because I thought it was interesting. The title of the article was Skeptical Wisdom. And it was giving examples of things that people say when they're skeptical that actually have some wisdom to it. Here are just a few. If you think nobody cares about you, try missing a couple of payments. Secondly, change is inevitable, except from vending machines. Third, two wrongs are only the beginning. Fourth, a clear conscience is the sign of a bad memory. The final one, a little more cynical, I think, but it was from George Carlin, written obviously in the wake of his death. And George Carlin said, "Tell people there is an invisible man in the sky who listens and answers to everything you say, and they won't question it. But tell them the paint is wet, and they have to touch it to see." Skeptical wisdom. I like that because I suspect that everyone knows what it's like at some point to be skeptical about something. And those of you who perhaps don't consider yourself skeptics, you still know people who are skeptical. And particularly when it comes to the Christian faith, we all have times where our skepticism, you know, maybe creeps in and gets the better of us, or maybe you have people in your family who are very skeptical about the Christian faith. And that's why I love the story of John chapter 1 that we just read. Nathanael was a skeptic in the classic sense of the word. Philip comes to him completely excited, and he says, "We have found the Messiah, the one that we've been reading about in our own books for centuries, the one that Moses promised us would come, the one that the prophets foretold, who they said he would come and save the world. We found him. His name is Jesus, and he's from Nazareth." And Nathanael says to him, "Nazareth? Are you kidding me? Did anything good come from Nazareth?" This was the sign of a skeptic. This was insulting. I mean, after all, the king, the Messiah who was to come, was believed by the Israelites to come out of an incredibly powerful place. Not an insignificant place. or a place with a lot of trouble. Now, dare I put this into modern day terms, it would sort of be like somebody saying, hey, you know, we found the Savior of the world, and he lives in Newark. And somebody would respond, you mean Ridgewood? And he says, no, Newark. And you think, Newark? Are you kidding me? I see some nervous laughter, I guess. But you know, it's sort of the same kind of thing. We get skeptical. And that's what Nathanael was doing. Nathanael is saying, I'm not sure I really buy this. I don't know if I believe it. And so the rest of the story unfolds actually with very good news. So this is good news for skeptics, and here's the question it answers for us. How does God deal with skeptics? And not how do we deal with skeptics, but how does God deal with skeptics, with actually people who are skeptical about him? And this story tells us that he deals with skeptics in three ways. He commends, he connects, and he consoles. So how does God deal with skeptics? First, he commends. Now, in verse 47, after Philip has said, we've found Nathanael, or we've found Jesus, and he's from Nazareth, and Nathanael says, can anything good come from Nazareth? It goes on and it says, when Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, here is truly an Israelite, in whom there is no deceit. Now, why would Jesus do that? He's actually complimenting him. After Nathanael just said, Nazareth is a terrible place. Nothing good can come from there. Certainly not a Messiah, so I don't think I believe this stuff. And then Jesus says, you are truly an Israelite. There is no deceit in you. Some translations say, there's no guile in you. Why would Jesus do that? Why wouldn't Jesus say, well, forget it. I don't want to talk to you either. It's because Nathanael is being honest. And Jesus loves honesty. Nathanael's being real. And Jesus loves real. I oftentimes during the week will wear my collar when I'm out and about, or if I go to Rotary, or you know, other times when I'm around town, when I'm working during the week, so that as I meet people, I can tell them I'm the minister here and so forth. And I can remember on one particular occasion when I was on the bus, I like to take the 175 from my house to here. And I had my scarf on. It was cold, so I was kind of bundled up. And I'm sitting on this crowded bus, and there's this group of people next to me, and they're using every four-letter word that you could think of. They're talking, in ways that I don't want to repeat in front of my children. And I'm just kind of listening. And then it's almost time for me to get off the bus, and I loosened my scarf and realized my collar was exposed. And all of a sudden it was, well, hello, Reverend. The Lord has blessed us with a quite beautiful day, hasn't he? And I'm just going, I may be a pastor, but I'm not dumb, why this facade? Why now all of a sudden I'm supposed to think you're like all religious? And why would you think that I'm going to think any differently of you now? It's not that I think it's because there's something about people finding out that you're a Christian. They're afraid you're going to judge them. They're afraid that you're going to reject them because you know the things that they just said and so forth. And so I struck up a conversation with these guys, and I wanted to say, it's okay. I'm a person. You can just talk to me like you would talk to anybody because I appreciate your honesty. Jesus meets us where we are. He loves us all. And see, that's kind of what's happening here. See, instead of Nathanael sort of putting up a facade and acting, all religious in front of Jesus, he just comes out with it and says, yeah, I don't know if I believe this. That doesn't mean he's being disrespectful. He's just being honest. And so Jesus is commending him because he's saying, you're being truthful about the fact that you're not sure what you believe. And I respect that. Because when a person admits that they're a skeptic, that means God can work with them. He can bring them along. It's real. Okay, so what's the first thing God does? He commends. Secondly, he connects. Now, notice again that Jesus didn't just go right up to Nathanael, this skeptic, and invite him to follow him. What did he do? He went to Philip, and he says to Philip, follow me. And then because Philip had been invited to follow Jesus, Philip goes and invites his friend to follow Jesus. So in other words, Jesus is sending friends into our lives to connect with us. And I love what happens here in verse 46 when Nathanael questions whether anything good could come out of Nazareth. Philip doesn't launch into like a philosophical defense of how, you know, well, there can be good things in Nazareth, or, you know, well, don't you know the prophets said this, this, and this. Instead, he just says, look, come and see. Just come and see for yourself. And here's why I like that. I know of no better way to sum up our philosophy of ministry as Christians in terms of how to be a church for all people. I know of no other way to sum that up than in this simple invitation of saying, come and see. And so as we invite people into the Christian faith, as we invite people into the church, oftentimes they have lots of questions, and it's good for us to try to answer whatever questions we can, but also there are times when it just comes to a point when we say, you know what, just come and see. Just come and see what you think. Come and see what you think, and Jesus will meet you where you are. But not only does he send a friend to Nathanael, but he also sees a friend in Nathanael. Now, verse 48 is really interesting and somewhat puzzling. After Jesus says, here's an Israelite in whom there is no deceit, Nathanael says, where did you come to know me? And Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. And that seemed to be the phrase that sort of changed Nathanael's mind and that led him to confess Christ as King and Savior. But why? You know, why this, you know, I saw you under the fig tree. Oh, well, that changes everything. Well, it's interesting. Historians and biblical scholars differ on this. And one theory is that the fig tree was a place of prayer that was known in Jewish times, where the only time you were to pray under the fig tree was when you were praying that the Messiah would come. Okay, there is some historical evidence for that. So if that's the case, it could have been that Nathanael had actually been praying under the fig tree that the Messiah would come, and he didn't think anyone knew. So he was sort of, you know, he was seeking Christ, but he was still sort of, you know, in the closet. He was still sort of guarded about it. And then he finds out that Jesus knew about it. It's as if Jesus is saying, look, you know, you can say what you want, but I know you've been praying that I would come, and here I am. And that could be true. That could be what happened. On the other hand, it could have simply been that Nathanael was in a place where he didn't think anybody was around, where he didn't think anybody saw him. He was just relaxing. And Jesus says that he saw him under the fig tree before Philip called him. We don't know. So there's my theory. We don't know. But either way, regardless of what is behind this whole fig tree incident, what we do know is that what Jesus is essentially saying is, look, I see who you are. I know who you are, and I'm still here talking to you. I'm not pushing you off. I'm not condemning you for your skepticism. I'm not condemning you for anything you've done. I'm extending a gesture of friendship to you. So regardless of what the fig tree was, it's all about Jesus extending friendship to skeptics. Okay, so how does God deal with skeptics? He commends, he connects, but finally, he consoles. In verse 50, Jesus says, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? you will see even greater things than these. And then he said to him, Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This is beautiful imagery. And because Nathanael was Jewish, he would have immediately recognized what Jesus was saying as referring to a story that happened in the book of Genesis in chapter 28, known as the story of Jacob's ladder. Angels of God ascending and descending. But instead of saying ladder, Jesus says, you'll see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, which was Jesus' title of himself. What he's saying to Nathanael is, I am the ladder. I am the one who gives you access to God. In other words, he's saying, look, it's more than just the fact that I'm a friend who's going to do great things for you. He's saying, I'm a savior who is actually leading you to God. I read a story this week about Einstein traveling on a train, and you know, he had kind of a reputation for losing things and forgetting things. As brilliant as he was, he would sometimes forget how to get home. And there's a story about him on a train, and he lost his ticket. And as you know, on the trains, you know, the conductor would come around after you're en route on the train and ask to see your ticket. And he came to Einstein, and Einstein said, I lost my ticket, I can't find it. And the conductor said to him, well, don't worry about it, we know who you are. And Einstein looked at him and he said, I know you know who I am. And I know who I am. I just don't know where I'm going. And so his whole fear of losing his ticket wasn't that they wouldn't know who he was. It was that he wouldn't know where he was supposed to go because he didn't have the ticket to tell him. And you see, it's as if Jesus is saying to Nathanael, I know where you're going and I will show you the way. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to show you the way to God by giving you my life. So how does Jesus deal with skeptics? He commends, he connects, and he consoles. Now, it could be today that you look at this story and you identify with different characters in the story. It could be you identify more with Philip, and that's great. Be the type of friend who is inviting others to come and see. But it could be that you identify more with Nathanael. And that's great too, because if you're willing to acknowledge that, Jesus will bless that, and he will meet you where you are, and he will take your skepticism, and he will show you great things if you will allow him. See, what's interesting about this story is that it shows us the relational heart of God, that he meets people not where he thinks they should be, but where they are. So whether you're a Philip, whether you're a Nathanael, Jesus is willing to meet you where you are and to address your skepticism by gently revealing himself to you in his word. And that's why we come to worship. That's why we fellowship with one another. That's why we look to the scriptures, that we may see Jesus meeting us where we are. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that even in our skepticism, you meet us. You commend us for our honesty. You connect with us by sending friends into our lives, by extending your friendship to us. And you also console us by reminding us that you are the way to God. And you are with us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.